So our message today is the new normal. I don't like the new normal as in the physical realm. They want you to wear a mask. I've had to learn the best way I've learned to deal with it, instead of being mad, is it's a way to honor others above myself. Hallelujah. You got to stay 6 feet apart. Where I go to Caterpillar, I can't park in a parking lot close to my lab. Now I got to walk 10 minutes. Seems like 10 miles. But no, it seems like a mile now or a couple steps, because I just give God thanks every step for what he's done in my life all the way to work, instead of complaining because I can't park close to my lab. Now, other ones have gotten special permission where they can park closer, but I choose not to. You know, churches are closed. For some people, that's their new normal. Praise God, we're open. The propaganda news, my eyes begin to open. I don't trust the news. I don't trust their science. I think they're telling us what they want us to believe. So me and Rebecca, we have found Christian Broadcast CBN. You can get their app on your phone. It has really good news that lines up with scriptures. And govictory.com. You can't watch them on YouTube anymore. They got kicked off for speaking truth through Brother Pillow, Mr. Pillow. But you can get them through Google, govictory.com. They actually record the news at 11 o'clock every day. You can go and watch it at your convenient time. It is given the news in the spirit of faith. It's been dynamite. So let's open up our Bibles. But first of all, our theme today about the new normal is taking our relationship with God to a higher level. Let's say that together. Taking our relationship with God to a higher level. And what's that going to look like? We're going to talk about that today and what we need to do. Okay, so let's stand with me. We're going to turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. If you could stand with me for the reading of the word. If you can't, it's okay. I'm used to that in our ministry. We've been meeting for a couple months with around 8 to 10 people, believing the rest of our friends will come. Hallelujah. We are meeting this Tuesday, those that are here at 6:30. All right. So Ephesians was written by Apostle Paul. We'll talk about that after I read. So we're starting here with verse 1 through verse 3. Then we're going to jump down to verse 22 through 24. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now Paul was ministering to the church in Ephesus, but he's also ministering to us today. They arrested Paul and tried to stop him, but while he was in prison, he wrote these scriptures for us today. If you're desiring to be a mature Christian, you need to listen up today. So he knows the power of unity. If we're ever going to have revival, there's got to be unity. So jump down to verse 22 to 24. We're going to talk about the new normal. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that your word will be poured out today, your Holy Spirit, Lord. Open up our minds and hearts, Lord, to receive your truth. May your words be spoken in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, you're giving me dry mouth already. You can be seated. It's a natural thing. People make me thirsty. Hallelujah. So, in other words, Paul is trying to tell us here through the book of Ephesians to always be humble, always be gentle, to be patient with one another, make an allowance for each other's faults. Sometimes as we grow in Christ, we forget we struggle, then we still have struggles and make mistakes, and also to have love and patience. And Jesus is our best example of how to be humble and always be gentle, to be patient and loving. So let's go to a Bible story, John chapter 8, 1 through 11. This is a wonderful Bible story of an example of Jesus demonstrating humility and gentleness, patience, and love. John chapter 8, starting at verse 1. It actually starts with verse 33, but they all went home because Paul, he's talking about here, all right, my mind is going in a whirlwind right now. Calm down, Jerry. All right. In the verse before, Jesus was already at the temple ministering, and now he went to the Mount of Olives, verse 1. But now Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who was without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away at one at a time, the older ones first, till only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you." Jesus declared, "Go now and leave your life of sin." So we see here back in last part of verse 2 where Jesus sat down to teach them. I think that was a sign of humility. Instead of looking up down at them, he was down at them in humility, speaking to them. He wanted to relate right where they're at. And then we look there in the second part of verse 4 where they made her stand before the group. These are the religious, the Pharisees, and pride. They wanted to belittle her and put her out in front of the Christians so they could hide their own sin. You know, maybe she was caught with adultery with one of their friends. I don't know. But now we go look in there where Jesus bent down and wrote on the ground. We see that twice. He bent down. I think that was a sign of humility when he got down before them, writing on the ground, right? Some think it's the sins. We don't know. We don't see that recorded anywhere. But I think it was a sign of humility. And then when Jesus stood up, he began to speak to them and understand the importance because he knew now he needed to give good eye contact. But in this story of Jesus versus the Pharisees shows not only great humility and a gentle spirit while speaking the truth in love, but a strong patience, especially with a woman who was caught sinning. Jesus delivered her from her life of sin and now to the new normal where there is freedom. In America today, they're trying to steal our freedom. And I ask, where are the humble, gentle, patient, and loving people in our culture? We are living in a dark time, if you haven't figured that out. The 11th hour is here. Yet we witness Christians falling into being spiritually prideful, condemning homosexuals out in public to hell. I really doubt if they've led any of them to the Lord. Christians controlled by fear who believe they don't need to gather the person with God's family anymore, thinking that watching on TV, online is their new church. I don't know about you, but this is my church, you, my brothers and sisters, the local body. We need each other. The political environment is very hostile. If we are not careful, it can affect everyone that we have relationships with. The man I work with, his parents took his tax money. They said they wouldn't. He's been on his own for a year and doing really well. He told him he's filling out his taxes. They said, "Come get your stuff and don't ever talk to us again." In our society today, many think winning an argument is more important than relationships. What's happened to us? We need to put a higher value on relationships than getting what we want. So how can we, the family of God, take our relationship with God to a higher place, to a higher level? This is the new normal. I believe it's directly related to how much you depend on God. It's directly related to how much you hunger to walk in faith for Jesus. You know, I'm convinced that pride keeps us from corporate worship. Pride keeps us from praying when we're in groups and they're asking, "Anyone want to pray?" Well, I'm always thinking about, well, it's got to be the perfect prayer. I sure would hate to embarrass anyone. Is it because we're fearing man or are we fearing God? We should fear God more than man. So our first garment that we need to put on, we're going to talk about the garments that we need to wear, which is putting on a thought, of how we need to think. It's the new attitude. It's the mindset we need to have in Christ. So our first one is always be humble, putting on the garment of humility. How do you put that on? That thought is, I choose to put others first. Means I choose to honor others over myself, like the scripture says. This is the ability to be without pride or arrogance. It means I put others first by honoring them above myself. This person is teachable, willing to receive correction. And Jesus, once again, is our best example of how he humbly followed God's plan for his life. In 1 Peter 5:6-7, all of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. There's a benefit. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. I can't tell you all the times that God has lifted me up in due time. When the worst was happening, and 2 weeks later, like that job I lost, 5 days later, I received a dream job. He will honor you. You see, a person who is humble puts others first. Yes, I repeat a lot because I'm getting old. We know from scriptures that God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. They refuse to think that they're better than anyone else, everyone else. After all, that's what Jesus was like. They refuse to think that they're better. Oh, I already said that. Everywhere he went, he loved others, he helped others, he healed others, and he served others. Jesus never once demanded that people treat him as the king, as he is, did he? Instead, he chose to take on the role of a servant and to put others first. Proverbs is filled with warnings of those who refuse to be humble, but also is full of blessings of those who choose to be humble. For example, Proverbs 3:34, he mocks proud mockers but shows favor to the humble and oppressed. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. How many here want the wisdom of God? You know, the Bible says it's more valuable than all the gold and riches. Proverbs 15:33, wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor. Proverbs 25:9, he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. If you want to find the ways of the Lord, you must be humble, always. We are commanded as God's chosen people to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. In Colossians 3:12, so how do I clothe myself with humility? This is a test. I gave you the answer at the beginning of this point. We have to put on that thought to honor others over ourselves. This is to submit ourselves unto God and unto others. That's not easy. It's not as easy today as it used to be. This means I put others first. Do you know what? You know who I put last? Moi. Me. Yes. It's exciting, isn't it? Others first and me last. I don't want to go last. I want to eat first. I could imagine more and more people in our cities across America would want to come to that church because they know they would be treated with kindness, love, and care. Can you, if the new normal for each of us was always to walk in humility, I believe we would look a lot more like Jesus. We taught our friends at the first campability, the acronyms J-O-Y. Hector, what's the J stand for? Jesus first. The O is for others second. And the Y is yourself last. Praise the Lord. Being humble for most people brings a mind to a form of weakness. We think it's a sign of weakness. If someone practices humility, it means you're not a go-getter and don't care about performance or working hard. It's the weak one who they say is humble and is dependent on someone else. You see, this is the old normal. This is the way of the world, the opposite of God's kingdom. Why else would the Bible have so much to say about being humble? There are way too many scriptures for me to read all in one message. I'll just cover half of them. Okay. True worship, I believe, flows from our life as we walk in humility. We don't care what people think anymore. If you want to know what that looks like, come to Campability. Come to Ability Project. They'll show you how to worship. They don't care what you think. They teach me. I always think of my wife's favorite scripture, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes, for the fear of the Lord and shun evil. Maybe the reason I'm so tired, maybe you're like me so many times over this last 15 months, because I'm learning I need to lean into Jesus a lot more with humility. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. As you're turning there, I'm going to get a drink of water. Making sure Todd didn't put something strange in there. We're going to get talking about Walmart in a little bit, so hold on. But he said to me, verse 9, this is Paul speaking, and then Jesus spoke to him, my grace is sufficient for you. That means my grace is more than enough for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest upon me. So instead of a testimony service, we're going to have a weakness testimony. Who's first? Now, Paul goes on to say, that is why for Christ's sake I delight in weaknesses and being insulted for Christ, in hardships for Christ, and being persecuted for Christ, and in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I think about the first group home I worked at in East Peoria. There was Susie. She was in her mid-60s, so we're going back more than 16 years ago. But Susie had never had a mom and dad. She'd been in state institutions and finally in a group home, a 16-bed facility where I work. But she knew how to keep people away. She was a good swinger. She would refuse meds. She could speak, but was not a lot of words. And God put in my heart, Jerry, you need to get a relationship with Susie. He said, you need to say nice things to her. I'm like, what nice things? He said, look a little closer. So I obeyed. I said, Susie, that's such a nice shoes you've got on today. Susie, you look so good with that purse on and those clothes. And over time, God began to show me, you minister spirit to spirit. And she became my friend. She wanted to go to campability, and she was radically changed and transformed. She learned screaming. She can get your way in the middle of a camp service the first night. I recognized the scream. And they brought Susie to me. She had to sit with my group all through that camp at church service because they didn't want her to scream. But when I took her to Riverside where we did a Sunday school class, this was before I was married, Rebecca. I tricked her in coming helping out the Sunday school class. And then we went out. But okay, that was not part of the sermon. But anyway, she went down the front, the first worship song, because we sat at the front. It was a large church. She turns around and goes, points to me, she goes, I'm like, me? See, I'm a man. I had pride. I went down there and she held my hand in front of the church. And her worship was stiff-legged, was this. And all I could do was weep as I was in the river. And that was Susie's worship. She had found Jesus. She sung, but I couldn't understand the word, but it was of the Lord. So next garment we need to put on, point number two, is gentleness. Always be gentle, especially with your spouse. Okay, that was for me. So the thought we put on is means I choose not to hurt others by what I say or by what I do. This is someone who was mild, meek, not rough or harsh or severe. This is power under control. We do not view ourselves as better than anyone else. Someone that lacks gentleness is most likely and often prideful and easily angered. It is a refuse to be harsh in the way I treat or speak to others. I sum it up this way, if you want to write this down. This is to submit one's strength in a posture of humility before God and before others. You see, Humbleness and gentleness work together. We must practice humbleness in order to develop the fruit of gentleness. This is righteousness being planted in us, rising up and growing inside of us. And Philippians 4:5 is the test. It says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And I'm thinking back, oh, there was the custodian at CAT this week. He said, wasn't that Biden speech good last night? Oh, man, no. He got a strange look on his face. He's like, be gentle, Jerry. But the next scripture is Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, says Jesus, all of you who are weary, burdened, and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. His rest is the best thing ever. It will go and heal things in your heart and your mind that no one else can. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Why? I am gentle and humble in heart. Someone who lacks gentleness is often prideful and easily angered. Being gentle is something that many people do not understand. The old normal is harshness, like the Pharisees, like our world today, like more than ever. They want us to be harsh. When people are harsh with others, their words are harmful, their actions are hurtful, they are not careful how they treat others. Being gentle, obviously, is the opposite. People think also that gentle means to be weak. This is not the case at all. When you are gentle with others, that means you are not weak. Actually, that means that you are choosing not to hurt others. Sometimes that takes a lot. Recently, we became the proud grandparents of twin identical boys, Preston and Pearson Fields. I think of how to hold a baby. I get excited. I'm a grandparent. They're so beautiful. How they're so fragile and breakable. You would hold a baby careful and cautious. Give them 100% of your attention. You know what that means? Whatever you want doesn't matter anymore. See, God's saying this is how I need to be in every relation I speak with. Imagine I'm holding a baby. Yes. That means I get to change their diapers. Hallelujah. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A gentle word avoids being harsh, but listens to others. Galatians 6:1, brothers and sisters, the family of God. If someone is caught in sin, who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. I said that on purpose, gently. But watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. I've always tried to figure that scripture out. My interpretation, I think, for a long time was you may be caught in that sin, which if they're in the act of it, you may. But I think the temptation is to get angry and begin to judge them and want to beat them up. In my memory, the worst board meeting as a leader I've ever went to is when a brother was being scolded for his sin. And then we wondered why the family left. It is difficult to find or see gentleness in the American culture today, not since COVID. Satan is working overtime to set up traps of dividing friends, families, co-workers, neighbors, through disagreeing to the point of my way or the highway. You know what they call it, right? The cancel culture. Our world needs to see Jesus in you and in me, flowing through us. Always being in the spirit of gentleness, of humbleness. This is the new normal. Power under control by submitting one strength in a posture of humility before God and before others. Our third garment of clothes we need to put on is our favorite. Patience. I always think of Walmart, sorry. Patience. So that thought is, I need to be, means I am slow to become angry. Let's say that together. I am slow to become angry, even in the face of opposition, and willing to wait and to be understanding, closely related to compassion and mercy. Slow like a turtle. I thought it was a good word picture anyway. Making allowance for each other's mistakes. I'm convicted because the longer we serve Jesus, we see our brothers or sisters make mistakes And then we forget how that was us. James 1:19 says it. Understand this, my brothers and sisters, you must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. I have the opposite problem. I'm quick to speak. You know that. You've been around me a long time. But I need to be quick to listen to your needs. 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is patient and kind. It is not jealous, conceited, or proud. It is not arrogant or selfish. Proverbs 15:18, hot tempers cause arguments. I think we all know that one, don't we? But patience brings peace. Patience brings peace. We all face situations that try our patience on a daily basis. The kids are climbing the walls. You're stuck on hold with customer service. You're only the fifth person in online. And the Wi-Fi now was painfully slow. When times are hard, those are considered hard times in America, it'd even be more difficult to persevere with a good new attitude. We don't want to rush into anger. We want to be patient. This includes when you're stuck in traffic and now you're in the fifth work zone. And then you shop at Walmart's. That's right. I have learned, instead of getting angry, God has used Walmart's to get me free, man. That I have to prepare myself, always be humble, always be gentle, and now you can work on patience, Jerry, patience. You see, I go early to beat the rush, but now since COVID, they got these online workers rudely filling their carts, and then they're stocking shelves now. I think they're teaching us how to be rude and arrogant. And my flesh could fly out, and the Lord's like, this ain't acceptable, Jerry. You can't be this way anymore. Hallelujah. So I think about Jesus in our Bible story this morning. He did not get angry with a woman caught in sin. No, he was, you know, the law says she's supposed to be stoned. But Jesus was shown the new law, the new normal. She had made a huge mistake, but he didn't become angry like the religious ones. But way too many times, we the believers tear our brothers and sisters into pieces because they sin through gossip, just horribly, because they were living by the old normal, the way of the world. Jesus was demonstrating the new normal, how we should live. He chose to be patient with the woman, understanding that every person has sinned. If we're going to live the new normal, then we must choose to be patient with others, slow, like a turtle, to become angry. Instead of arguing with their brother or sister, a loved one, a friend, instead of thinking of a comeback when somebody cuts us down, cuts us off, and we don't get our way, we should be slow to become angry. Instead, be quick to be like Jesus. You see, Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, the end of something is better than its beginning. Patience is better than pride. So we need to have a spelling test. Let's spell pride together. Come on, help me out. P-R-I-D-E. What's in the middle of pride? I. Now let's spell sin. S-I-N. What's in the middle of sin? I. I'm convinced Mr. Webster was a Christian. Amen. James 5:8, you also must be patient. Keep your hopes high. Why? For the day of the Lord's coming is near. That's our hope. We're there. It could be tonight. When in tribulation, tough and difficult times, it may seem impossible, but we can always, always practice humility and gentleness. We can slowly learn patience. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. He's given us how to do it. What's that mean, to be constant in prayer? This is the ability to continually walk in God's presence by the leading of the Holy Spirit, heavenly dependent and submitted to His power and His strength. It works. Here are some of the promises from Scripture. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding. So next time we want to yell at our wives, let's choose to be patient and slow and show her that we have great understanding. But he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Folly is a fool. Romans 8:25. But if we hope for what we do not see, We wait for it with patience. Now, our faith is based upon what we do not see, right? Yeah, we're talking about the promises. We wait for them with patience. And here's one of them, Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. Give your children to the Lord. Let him fight for you. But as for you, be strong. Do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. 2 Chronicles 15:7. Even though we see evil rising up across the land of America like never before and across this world, wait patiently for him. If you're not fasting, please start. Just pick one meal one day a week. I pick the weekends when I do it. Fast and pray. Keep seeking his face. And we will see the victory of the Lord in this land of America. This week, I watched a video of revival services in Modesto, California, MarioMurillo.com. A lady was healed of MS. They showed another lady whose back had been broken 3 days before the revival. And here she was, healed completely, instantly, dancing. I liked it because he says, this is not me, people. This is God. I can't do this. Only God can. You see, it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, my brothers and sisters who are called by name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, you probably know what it says, that I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. The question is, do you want revival in Galesburg? Do you want revival in your neighborhood, in your life? And our final clothes to put on, because that's it's pretty warm out. But in the spiritual kingdom, we need to be fully clothed. The devil's out to tear you apart, to stop you, to shut us down, to put a mask over our face so we can't share our testimonies. It all starts with love. This is my favorite pair of clothes, clothes of love. So it all starts with love. This is agape love. This is not conditional love where you would buy me a Coca-Cola than I'd buy you one, because I would rather have that than a water right now. But it's unconditional love. This love is patient and kind. It is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. This love of God does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. Love keeps no record of wrongs and forgives. But love endures forever. So going to Walmart is a test to see how much love you really have in your heart, right? Lord. 1 John 4:7-8. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love God, because God is love. That one's pretty simple to understand, isn't it, that verse? John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. But Jesus died for us while we're still yet sinners. Who's willing to die for a sinner? The only way we can live the new normal when it comes to our new attitudes is if we are filled with God's love. I remember the many times that this church, when we were at the other building, I've been going to this church since 93. At a period, I went to Peoria. There was a 2-3 year period. We had Sunday night services. After church, Sunday night was over, we'd have another service, about 40 of us, and we would stay at the altars for hours. I was single then. I would be filled with the Holy Spirit, but that was where God was cleansing me. He would fill me with his love so much that his love would remove areas of my heart. I did a lot of bad things. The darkness I lived in, and God was working it out, that godly sorrow would come out. And he would cleanse me and purify me. But that love becomes so deep to where now I want to go to the least of these. In Romans 5:5, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. So the unconditional love comes from God. So you cannot receive it unless you get before God every day and be filled with his Spirit. You won't make it. If we can't survive Walmart, we're not going to survive the world. I don't know why I keep thinking about Walmart, but I don't know. Hallelujah. If you are struggling with being humble, gentle, or patient, And some are just a little of it. It's probably because you're not allowed your heart to be changed. It's a continual work. It's never finished, or you'll be like Enoch. God will just take you home. Why am I sharing this? Because this message is the very thing that I began to choose to live in when COVID started. I was so miserable and so angry all the time. To come into a new level with Jesus, this new normal, I began to open up my eyes of faith. I'm sitting there this morning in our chair before God quietly. Where the sun's at now, it was hitting the glass table on all that dust I couldn't see last night. I just cleaned that table. You can now see that dust. It's like when we get before God, His light, it gets brighter, and we see pride, lack of gentleness, things that we need to improve on and repent of. It says in 1 Corinthians 16:14, let all you do be done in love. Let's say that together. Let all that you do be done in love. Wow. 1 Peter 4:8. If you need another scripture to prove that, it says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sin. Actually, it says sins. Earnestly means intentionally, passionately, passionately intentional. So you need to be intentional about loving others, unconditional love. This last year, everything changed. As I said, anger, being patient with other people. The network news would make me boil. This other guy that works near my lab got on my face one day and told me how he hated President Trump. I got angry. But praise God, I went back and asked him to forgive me before that day was over. I couldn't live with what I'd done. None of us are perfect. You know where I work? I'm lucky to see 50 to 100 cars out of the 3,000 employees. Now I walk through the long, empty building, lucky to see one mask. Sometimes it seems like I'm in a spooky movie. But the other day, I thought it was the engineer. I was just done some data collection boxes for. I was asking about it, and he gave me these weird answers, and I just kept on going. And 30 seconds later, there's the guy I was thought I was speaking to. You didn't get that one. Okay. Well, finally, like I said, me and my wife, we watch Christian news. We found two good sources. We look, they're out there. Choose to walk in the new normal, being humble, being gentle. You cannot have gentleness without humbleness, and you can't have patience without the other two. With everyone. See, when you are humble, gentle, and patient, and full of God's love, you're becoming that living sacrifice. You do everything for the glory of God. Jesus says they will know you're Christians by your love. You know, the new normal is taking my relationship with God to a higher level, which actually means you must go lower in order to get higher. That's what humility is. You see, the pyramid in the world is like this, but God's kingdom goes like that. Be careful when you want to be a leader really fast. Spiritual maturity requires you to walk like this. That means you become under all those people. Those are more people to serve, more people to reach. It makes me think of a song. We're going to try this one. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. Well, at this church, I used to sing in the worship team. And Bob Brooks ruined it. He found out I played trumpet. So he asked me to play trumpet. Pastor Darren was so glad because he couldn't figure out how to ask me to quit singing. true story, some of you probably heard before. When I was in sixth grade, that's when they asked us then, those that wanted to play instruments, and I wanted to play trumpet. My parents couldn't afford it. Besides my next oldest brother, Greg, they bought him a trumpet, and couldn't figure out why he wasn't playing. But he tried to pull a rag through it and got it stuck in there. And it cost a lot of money to get it fixed. So, nope, you can't have a trumpet. But I had faith. I had found Jesus that year. So I began to pray. A couple weeks later, the school called. Said, if your son wants to play a trumpet, we'll provide it. I played that all the way through junior high at Churchill. I got to high school. I had an uncle. My dad bought a trumpet for $125 because in the high school band when I played, everybody had to have a silver trumpet. Hallelujah. So if the worship team would come back, and close here, if everybody would stand. So it's a blessing to play the trumpet here, because what you don't know, when I was in high school band, I had such fear and anxiety. I was given solos, but I would mess up in front of people, so they took them away. The other guy would play them. So it's a liberty. This morning, I don't even notice I did hit a wrong note. But now I laugh about it. I just keep on going because I'm not perfect. And I'm getting freer and freer of fear of people. Because now Lord has figured me out. Bob told me what to do. The Holy Spirit showed me. For me to play without music is a miracle in my case, in my life. I'm able to do that. But maybe today you're like me, you're missing the mark in some way, or maybe like me in all these areas, I need improvement in adjusting my new attitude and mindset as a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, how are we going to get out of our boxes of comfort Christianity? I think that's the only Christianity we know in America is comfort. The missionaries that we sponsor in the Ability Project is missionaries Larry and Carolyn Campbell. They are missionaries to people with disabilities through the Assemblies of God. They serve on our board for Ability Project. And then we have missionaries Dan and Patty Foley. We ran around in high school and got a lot of trouble, me and Dan. It's a miracle. We both are ministers now. But recently, they got a business visa to get back to India. Last week, we're sitting at the airport because things got so bad in India, they wouldn't let them fly out. And they're still waiting to get back to India. Their hearts are broken. They've had to stay at 41 different places since October. They know it's better to have a home in America. They know it's better. Where they live, there isn't a grocery store. But if we're honest, we've all experienced in America is we get locked in our places, and I feel the Lord saying, you got to get out, Trey. There's the guy next door. I can smell the pot he's smoking. He needs Jesus. I see the people coming in and out across the street. I know what they're doing over there. God says, don't worry about them, but pray for them for protection. We all know people who need Jesus. What can we do to overcome our pride, our arrogance, to become walk with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love? We must intentionally and passionately set time aside to get before God. He's coming any day. Amen. To seek his face. I'm telling you, things will become easier, even though they appear harder in the flesh, because he will empower you. Joy will come to where I even enjoy my job more than I was when I was struggling. And my work is harder than it's ever been. But God finds a way to make it easier. I would like the prayer team to come down front now. Please don't wait. Because right now at the altar, there's rivers of God that flow. I know when Jeff asked this request several weeks ago, I come down. I haven't been the same since then. There was rivers flowing. Everybody went home. You missed out, but there's still a chance. God's river is flowing. It used to flow in this church, but it never made it out of the church. Oscar and Lee, some of them were there. The enemy struck our leader down. We're back to that place where God wants to bring revival to the city. This city was founded on revival by Charles Finley. Mr. Galsberg was a man that he spent 2 years witnessing to and led him to the Lord. The well's already here. So if that's you today, I would like you to come. Come to the altar. Let go of your pride. Always be humble. Pride is what keeps people from coming to the altar. Do you really want to become more humble, more gentle, more patient, more loving? Come, let them pray for you. Come and step in the river. Be healed. Be set free. God wants to save you and touch you.